As everybody knows, Sparky Anderson passed away today at the age of 76. He managed in the major leagues for 26 seasons. And, of course, he won 5 division titles with the Reds, 2 with the Tigers, won the World Series 3 times as a manager, twice with the Cincinnati Reds, once with the Tigers. And he was the first manager to win World Series titles in both leagues and the only manager to lead 2 franchises in career wins. And at Cincinnati, he had a Hall of Fame second baseman, Joe Morgan, and he joins us on Sports Byline. The one thing I'm hearing universally, Joe, from players, from fans, and from media is how universally respected and liked Sparky Anderson was. What was the essence of that in your mind?
Well, I think Sparky, more than anything else, was a people person. He loved people, and he loved being around people, and he had a knack for getting to know people. And that's the thing that always made him a great manager, not just the X's and O's. Everybody, you know, always feels like some manager is smarter than others and whatever. But the thing that made Sparky great was the fact that he knew people, and he knew how to get the most out of people. We had a whole bunch of different personalities on that Reds team, but Sparky knew how to, you know, deal with me on an individual basis, Pete on an individual basis, and then deal with all of us collectively as a team. And he was just so smart at knowing which buttons to push for each guy.
One of the things that I sensed about him, Joe, was he went into the background and he was comfortable with that. Now, not all managers will be. They think they may have to get out in front of the ball club, but he was very comfortable being behind the scenes, and I always thought that was one of his strengths.
Well, it was one of his strengths with our guys because we had so many guys that like to talk a lot. So, but Sparky always gave the players credit. He always said to me, he'd say to all of us, in fact, he'd just say, look, if my horses don't do it, then I can't get the job done. So Sparky understood, you know, that the players were his, that was his tool. He had to be able to get us all working in the same direction, and he was always able to do that. And he never wanted the credit. And I've said this over and over again, that he will never get the credit he deserved, you know, for being such a great manager there in Cincinnati, because most people said if you put Morgan, Bench, Rose, Perez, and all those guys in the lineup every day, we're going to win. Well, that's not true, because Sparky was the only one that I feel like could have managed that team because we had so many diverse personalities. But Sparky just knew what he was doing, and the players respected him, and we wanted to play for him. You know, most people realize that the Reds in those days didn't wear mustaches. We didn't have our socks up high. And the reason wasn't because of the Reds. It was because of Sparky. We respected him, and he asked us to do it, and we did it. You know, and I've always said that I never actually felt like Sparky was my manager. I always felt like he was a member of my family, because I would do more for my family than I would any manager. And he just always felt like, made me feel like he was part of my family, and right up until the end, you know, the last time I talked to him, we were the same way.
Joe, one of the things that I remember about a conversation I had with him after he had retired, he was talking about several ball players, and he was very candid about them, but he wasn't critical of them. They're, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's him. That's the way Sparky was. He was able to make you understand what a player was without, you know, like you say, tearing him down.
Because I thought that that was the thing. He could go to a player and say, you're not doing this, and the player wouldn't take it personally.
You're exactly right. I mean, but the one thing that Sparky made sure everybody understood, it wasn't about you as an individual. It was about the team, and that's all that mattered to him. And he would explain it that way, and you couldn't say no. You couldn't get upset, because what he was telling you was always the right way and the best way for the team.
One of the things, too, I'd be interested in, Joe, is those 2 championship teams with the Cincinnati Reds. I've always, when I view it, think that a manager probably does a better job when he has a better team underneath him than he does when he has a team that he knows there's not too much that you can do about, because keeping everybody focused, keeping everybody kind of happy in a sense. Am I correct in that observation, and how did he deal with the success of the Cincinnati Reds?
Well, I think the one thing that he was able to do, about, especially the success, because we had a lot of success, as you mentioned, he won 5 divisional championships, was he always made sure we understood that, hey, that was last year and this is this year. Every new year you start over. Whether you won or lost, you know, you're starting at scratch again. We're starting at zero, and he made us understand that. And he just did so many things. I mean, I could talk to you for the next 2 days about some of the things that he did as individually for me, for Pete, for other guys, and what he did collectively as for us as a group. but he was all, and very rarely did he go off, but he did go off at times when we needed it. And obviously we had a lot of respect for him for who he was, and we knew he was always telling us the truth. And that was the other thing. Sparky would never, he never played games with you. He never lied to you. He would just, he was who he was, and that was a guy that would always tell you the truth. You may not like what he said, but he's going to tell you the truth.
You know, Joe, that they always say the difference between the American League and the National League. They used to talk a lot more about it back when you were playing, yet he jumped over to the American League and had just as much success there. Why was he able to transition the league so successfully?
Well, he wasn't dealing with the league. As I said, he was dealing with people. Sparky was dealing with people all the time. He wasn't dealing with the league he was in or, you know, Eastern Division. He was just dealing with all the people that he knew and that was on his team. He dealt with you, like I said, as an individual first, and then he dealt with you as a team.
When you take a look at all that he accomplished, what do you think he was the most proud of, Joe?
Well, I'd have to say that he was probably most proud of the Big Red Machine and how he put it together and made us all famous. And then I think he was proud of the fact that after he got let go in Cincinnati, he was able to go to Detroit and win a championship there too, which kind of showed the world that it wasn't all about Morgan, Bench, Rose, Perez, and those guys, because he did it in a different environment with a different team and in a different league. And that was the way that he always measured a manager. I asked him one day, who was the best manager? And he said Earl Weaver. And I asked him why. He said, because Earl Weaver can win with any type of team. He doesn't have to have the same type of team to win. He takes what he has and molds those guys into a team. And that's why I know he would have been most proud of the fact that it wasn't just about the stars he had in Cincinnati, but the fact that he molded a team together there in Detroit as well.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point, Joe, and that is that sometimes a manager will take a look at his talent and he'll adjust the way he plays the game to that talent instead of taking the talent the other way around. And yet he seemed to be comfortable in both directions. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, yeah, again, Sparky was dealing with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't dealing so much, again, with whether you had a Detroit Tiger jersey on or a Cincinnati Red jersey. He dealt with everybody as individuals, and that's the way Sparky was. I mean, when you hear people talk to him, I'm sure people are talking to Johnny Bench, telling all of us, we're all going to have the same impression, and that is that, you know, he was a special person because he was a people person. Forget about being a manager. You know, that was secondary with Sparky. He wanted to know you, and he wanted you to know him, and he wanted us all to coexist and have a good time together. That's who Sparky was. It wasn't so much about just wins and losses. It was how you got those wins and losses.
I remember Tony La Russa telling me one time that he did not manage for today or maybe even this series or even this week. He'd manage for the next series or the next week. And I'm just wondering from a strategic standpoint, you know, making the decisions there, you know, about the ball game at a time, how good was he at making those decisions, the right decision at the right time?
Well, you know, everybody always questioned, you know, whether he was the greatest at X's and O's, you know, because he was known as Captain Hook. You know, he took a lot of pitchers out. He'd take them out maybe a hit or two soon rather than a hit or two late. That was his philosophy. A lot of other managers are supposed to be smarter than everybody else or whatever, but none of them outmanaged Sparky. And I always remember, and I've used this term on TV every once in a while, he said Sparky's favorite thing was he used to say, I've got him in a box now, Joe. And what he meant was there was no place for that manager to go that he wasn't already prepared to deal with. So they could think he wasn't as smart as they were or whatever, but he was always a step ahead.
One of the things that I found interesting about his career, and I'm talking about his playing career, he played one season with the Phillies in 59. His .218 batting average was the lowest on the team, dubbed by manager Eddie Sawyer as the worst in baseball history. And there is always the belief that, well, if you played the game well, then you could probably manage it well. And that's not always the case, is it?
No, I don't. I think it's even worse, because what happens is when you were a great player, you have expectations of your players to be great and not make mistakes because you didn't make them. But the natural progression of things is that guys will make mistakes. Everybody's not as smart as, say, a Frank Robinson or even a Sparky Anderson. They're not as smart about making the right play at the right time. I mean, we watch the World Series. We see guys get double off second base on a pop-up. We see guys make mistakes. And some great players would never make those mistakes, and they can't understand why other people make mistakes. So it's tougher, I think, for a guy that's been a great player to manage than it is for a guy that had to work so hard and understood that, you know, the average player will make mistakes.
Joe, I want to thank you very much for your remembrances of your manager, Sparky Anderson. He was truly an icon, maybe not out in front like you think of people that way, but certainly he was a man that was well-accomplished, well-loved, well-respected, and you can't ask for anything more.
Well, that's true, and I mean, I think he would be proud of the legacy that he leaves behind because he leaves a great one with all the people that had an opportunity to know him.
Thank you, Joe. Take care, my friend.
All right. Okay.
Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan remembering his manager Sparky Anderson as we continue on Sports Byline.